Blog Talk Radio.
The beginnings is not just for the young. I like saying it. That means that I have an opportunity to make what was wrong right. Amen. God is a forgiving God, so he does not hold anything against us. So I do like that. The beginnings is not just for the young. Amen. I'm looking for an exciting word from the man of God for this evening. He is from out of Cleveland. He is not on as of yet, and sometimes when men and women come on to speak, we do have problems, or they have problems getting through, and it takes a few minutes. So we are waiting for him to show up on our screen so we can open up our mics to him. And that is Reverend Michael Jackson, a young man from out of Cleveland who is on fire for the Lord. He did mention that he would speak for us this evening, and so we look forward to what God has placed on his heart and how he's going to work through him. We're going to have prayer. After we have prayer, then directly after that, we're going to move on into our topic for this evening. And if there runs into a problem, if there is a problem, of course, you know, God says we have to be ready in season as well as out of season. So I will just move forward as the Lord says so, and just you know, give a word for this evening. Amen. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for a day that we've never seen before, and you provided us an opportunity to make a difference in the lives of others. We thank you for that. And Father, we don't take that for granted. We ask, Father, that you would direct our footsteps, that you would guide our mind, and that you would give us the humbleness to always place you first in our lives. I realize that we are nothing without you. And that's why we take time to pray, to ask for forgiveness, and also, Father, to intercess on behalf of others that stand in the need of prayer. Father, there are a few that I would like to call out right now and asking that you would minister to them in a special way. We have Pastor Paul Robinson, who was scheduled to speak last week, and there was technical difficulties that we was waiting to hear his testimony. We ask that you would continue to bless him, even though that he has a testimony of how you brought him out. We still keep him on our prayer list. We pray for his ministry. We pray for him. We ask that you would continue to strengthen him as a man walking and not by sight. Lord, we ask that you would bless Brother Bill Robinson, who is having some financial difficulties with his home and his business. We keep him in prayer. And Lord, that you would continue to let him know that you are always with him and that he will never, ever be in want. As long as he continues to walk with you. Lord, there's a sister out of Alabama that asked request, and she has cancer. Lord, we're asking that you would bless her, Sister Tanette Dickerson. We keep her on our list. Lord, we don't know what she's going through with her chemotherapy. We don't know all the things that she has had happen to her, but you do. Father, we ask that you would just give her a sense of peace as she goes through her challenging days. And then, Father, we're even asking that she would have a testimony. We've heard you operate before, where the situation appeared like it was failure, and you turned it around, where doctors could not even find the problem. Lord, we ask that you would just minister to her body. Work it, work it, work it, Father, in the name of Jesus. And then, Father, we thank you for Stuart Hawthorne, who lay in a nursing home on a regular basis. We thank you for his recovery. We thank you for allowing us to be able to see his body strengthening as he was paralyzed on one side. And now he is beginning to show signs of strength.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Physically as well mentally. He's able to hold a conversation like nothing has ever happened. And we thank you for where you brought him from, Father. At one time, he was not even able to speak. And now he holds on to conversation. And it's hard to stop him from talking. But it's one thing that I recognize he does. Say, thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. He cannot stop from giving you praise. We thank you for all of these that are in prayer. Our brother Norm, Father, who sits around, Lord, who has been an inspiration to others. In spite of his difficulties, Father, you still allow him to speak life into those who are having challenges. Lord, I ask that you would just continue to give him the strength that he needs. And Lord, Father, each and every time that I see him, sometimes I have to just say thank you, Lord, because it's almost like nothing is wrong with him. In fact, I'm going to go out and say there's nothing wrong with him because you're working on him, you're working in him, and Lord, Father, you're just using him as a vessel. And we thank you for that. He comes on the air time and time again. But no one knows his challenges. So I'm asking that you would continue to bless he and his family. Strengthen them in the ways that they need strengthening. Encourage them with words of praise from my brother to others. And Lord, Father, we thank you for
amen, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Bless your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Can't hear you. Lost you. Hallelujah. Elder John. Can't hear you.
Hello?
Can't hear you. Elder John, can't hear you.
I sent him a text. I don't know what's going on. I'm on my way.
Oh, God bless you.
I'm in the car.
God bless you, Elder.
I don't know what happened.
Okay. God bless.
So just be patient.
Okay.
Amen. I hope that you can hear me now.
Yes.
Actually, we lost the connection.
Yes.
We lost the connection, and so we're back on. Tommy went out.
Sound a little sketchy there, Elder.
Say it again.
Oh, it's better. Okay.
Okay. Good. Praise the Lord. I'm going to move in on the subject. Pastor Jackson, are you there? Reverend Jackson, are you there? Okay. I'm going to move on and do what the Lord is leading me to do. and that is to take over the show. And we're coming from Ezekiel 36:22-32. And if Reverend Robinson comes on, we're just going to move on out of the way and let him take over. Ezekiel 22:32. And the word of the Lord says as such, therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am about to act, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among nations to which you came. I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, and which you have profaned among them. And the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God. For though you, I display my hope before your eyes, I will take you from the nations and gather you from all countries and bring you to your own land. I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from your uncleanness. And from all my own, I will cleanse you. A new heart I will give you, and a new spirit I will put into you. I will remove from your body the heart of stone, and give you a heart of flesh.
Something's wrong with the phone.
I will put my spirit within you and make you follow my statutes and be careful to observe my words. Then you shall live in the land that I gave you to your ancestors, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will save grain and make it abundant, and lay no foundation upon you. I will make the fruit of the trees, the produce of the field, abundant, so that you may never again suffer the disgrace of famine among the nations. Then you shall remember your evil ways and your dealings that were not good. And you shall loathe yourself for your iniquity and your abominable deeds. It is not for your sake that I will act, says the Lord. Let that be known to you. Be ashamed and dismayed for your ways, O house of Israel. Now, as we're looking, as I said, the scripture is coming from Ezekiel 36:22-32. Ezekiel 36:22-32. Now, the theme of this is what's happening is Ezekiel is announcing to the Lord God that he will reclaim the beloved people who went astray. Who are the beloved people? Israel. The Lord will act to restore them because of their hard hearts. And because of their hard hearts, what it's saying here is that it brings dishonor to God's holy name. The Lord God here is going to restore them to a blessedness that they have squandered. Here it is, God has called them the chosen people, and they've dishonored him by their profane ways, by looking up to idols, by the impurity of the sexual act. Everything that they were doing dishonored God. Now, the gift of blessedness will open the eyes of Israel, and they will have to become, or they will have to say, they will begin to start agreeing, realizing what they have done, and how they are considered living in a holy, on a holy land, but the problem is they're not a holy people. Now, the problem of the text here is, that I see it is, God does not bless the unclean. Now, here, what is happening is, the land is holy. The land is holy, but the people are not holy. Do you see what's happening here? In order for God to bless it, the people have to be holy, and the land has to be holy. Any comments? I want to stop here.
I can't even really hear you. Sound like there's some traffic or something in the back.
You're having traffic? Are you really?
Yeah.
Thank you for letting me know. Boy, the devil must be busy.
He really is. But it's all good. Because the word's going to get out anyway.
Now?
Oh,
how
much better.
Now?
Yes, I can hear
that's
you
much better.
Yes. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Praise God.
Do I need to repeat what I was saying before?
No, you could just continue.
So my question to you is, the theme of this, of Ezekiel, and God is talking to a holy people. He is saying that the land is holy.
Mm-hmm.
It's holy land. But the cause of people dishonor him. They profane him with their mouths and their actions, that they're not a holy people, and there's no balance. God wants to bless them, but he only blesses holy people.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what Ezekiel is saying. They're out, that they're not connected with God.
Mm-hmm.
Because God, here it is, they're doing it, there are acts of profanity, they are worshiping other idols, there is sexual immorality,
mm-hmm.
and God wants to bless them.
Mm-hmm.
And bring them back to where they belong. He wants to bring them back where they belong. And as Ezekiel is identifying that their hearts have become like stone. And God is saying here that he's going to remove their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. He was going to remove the heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. For those of you that's listening, we are coming from Ezekiel 36, 22 through 32. Am I coming through clear?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Praise the Lord. Ezekiel 36, 22 through 32. God is saying here, that listen, when you look at 26, God is saying, I will give you a new spirit. I will give you a new spirit. A heart of stone and give you a heart God is trying to renew them. He's trying to renew them. The land is holy, but the people are not. And God does not dwell in any unclean place. I need to hear from you, from your conscience on this. God is saying, I'm holy. Therefore, you must be holy.
And they were supposed to live upright and be holy before these heathens. But what they did was they conceded to their ways. They had idols. They were, you know, going in sexual conduct, misconduct, and all that, all the stuff that is not of God. But yet in God's merciful, because you see what it says? He says, for his name's sake.
Mm-hmm.
What he did was reach down into his bowels of mercy, try to bringing them out so he could sanctify them again, set them apart
mm-hmm.
again, clean them
Amen.
Up, clean them up so they can, because he's put them in a place where they're supposed to be an example to anyone they come in contact with. But what did they do? They fell into the way of the heathen. And God wanted to show, and he is going to show, as we read down in the scriptures and in the verses, he is going to show that he is God. Not only
Amen.
To the heathens, but to him, to them themselves. That I am God. You can't just go away. If I called you, you just can't do what you want to do and think you're going to get away from me. Even if I thank you and bring you back, you shall be what I called you to be. And I called you
Amen.
To be holy. I called you to be righteous. I called you to be the example of my majesty, of my
mm-hmm.
kingdom. And here you are acting like crazy folk.
mm-hmm.
But God,
Amen.
In his merciful, merciful way,
Amen.
Even in the mess that they were in and the mess that they did, actually they were smacking him in his face. They were smacking God in his face, going another way,
divine.
Seeking other idols. Say it again.
Amen. That was
yes.
dishonor.
Yes, dishonor, like you're saying, Elder. Dishonor. They dishonored him, disrespected him. And
mm-hmm.
with all that he did for them, this is what they did. And what they
mm-hmm.
and what it was like turning your back on God, going another way. Letting your sexual or whatever appetite you had override you, and here you are supposed to be the example, and here you are,
you know,
conceding to the ways of the.
And as you see that, as I think about when God has a call on you,
yes,
God has a call on your life, and you try to run. Or you try to live like the world.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a call on your life.
Mm-hmm.
There's a call on your life.
And, that,
and when
and,
God
and,
has a call
mm-hmm.
on your life, you cannot run. You cannot get away.
No, especially when you accepted him. You know, because there's a lot of people got callings on their life and they haven't yet accepted Christ. But
Amen.
When you have accepted him, you have allowed him to come into because you have a free will. So you said yes one day. You said yes, and you allowed him to inhabit your being. You came back to the first love, which he was before you even was in your mom's womb. You were in him, and
Amen.
He knew you. And when he called you out, and when he called you out of that mother's womb, and you said yes. Yes, Lord, I surrender. That made all
Amen.
The difference in the world. Because you got a lot of people that have gifts and callings, but they haven't yet accepted Christ. They
mm-hmm.
haven't yet accepted Christ. But because these
Amen.
Israelites accepted Christ, accepted God.
Mm-hmm. Amen. 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 And again, you know, I love the terminology in here. A heart of stone.
Yeah.
A heart of stone. You know,
mm-hmm.
that can be anyone that turns from God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Anyone that turns from God.
And we're not just. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
And we're not just saying turn, because sometimes people get weakened and they fall, and the scripture says, or they're in fault, and the scripture says, restore such a one, considering thy own self. But we're talking about those that have a heart now of stone. You have completely just aced God out of your mind, out of the things that you do, and now you've come into doing what you want to do. That's a heart that is a heart of stone. That's a heart of stone. But even in that heart of stone, the Almighty God said to them, but where's it says? It says in 26, a new heart also will I give you. And a new spirit I will pour within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. And I will give you a heart of flesh. That heart of flesh is a heart that is now surrendered unto God. Surrendered unto his will and his way of doing things.
Only by the Spirit of God. Amen.
Amen. Amen, sir.
Only by the Spirit. You know, often when you think about the heart of a stone, and a spirit that is dirty, but even a stone can be, as hard as it may be, it can be softened by water. Water has has the ability to cleanse and to clean and to weaken dirt and remove it. And spiritually, we can actually see that within ourselves. We're faced with challenges. But anyway, that could turn our hearts to stone, or we can turn to God for that spiritual water to purify us and soften our hearts and to really appreciate God and to do his will and not to turn others away from God. But we have to be careful that we allow God to touch us. But we're dead, you know, we want to be in the desert away from the spirit of clean water. Nothing's going to happen. But we have to consciously come to Bible study, put into practice God's will. He is teaching us. We have to be willing to learn. But but even with baptism, we're speaking of water, you know, for cleansing. And making that change. But even as hard as a rock is, water has a way of actually dissolving it.
Yeah, the drip, drip, drip on that rock. Yes, if it's constantly pounded, yeah, it will soften. Yeah, yeah. And
yeah,
nothing
can... And we can't forget, we can't forget here that this whole message is Ezekiel has... God has given Ezekiel a message to speak to the house of Israel. And if we look through 22 through 23, God has given Ezekiel a message to the house of Israel. And what's happening here is Israel has been scattered over every corner of the world. They've been scattered. And Ezekiel is not talking. He's not concerned about what the nations have done to Israel, what the nations have done to his holy people, but he's concerned about what Israel has done to the Lord. That's more the concern, what Israel has done to the Lord because of their profane mouths. What how God is seeing, this is Israel is the holy people, but how they are showing themselves to other nations.
That's right.
And other nations don't see God as being holy. And here that it see because God's name is a divine. God is has a divine name. His name is holy. And what here is God. You know, God wants to show the other nations that his name is holy. You can't just use his name any old way. Anyway, you can't use profane words and not put God in his right context. God is holy.
Mm-hmm.
And when we look at and think of God as holy, we are talking about displaying divine holiness. God's name is holy.
Mm-hmm.
And what's happening, God is inviting the people to act. He's inviting Israel to act. He's inviting them to act. God is drawing them from every corner of the nation back.
Mm-hmm.
Any comments?
No, I'm thinking about us in this day now. I'm thinking about how we just act all kind of way, the way we want to act, and how we as a body needs to pull up our bootstrings and know that the sovereign God is holy. We should, the way we walk, the way we talk, the way we act, we should have the fruit of the Spirit
mm-hmm.
always projecting Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Christ. That, and we should be just like, we should be holy as he is holy. Now, there's no good thing
mm-hmm.
is in this flesh, but
mm-hmm.
I believe God is speaking about the heart of hearts, because that's where he judges man. And what's on the inside also is gonna show on the outside. But we're
mm-hmm.
so busy, you know, the church folk, we have to continue to pray, because we don't even realize that the world is, the church is acting like the world a lot
Amen.
Of times. And we have to realize that if we start acting like the world, my God, where is the world going to be able to come to when things like this happen? The hurricanes
mm-hmm.
and the peril, we're in perilous times.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the world going to come? We are the world changers. If they can't come into the house of God, why should they if we're acting like them?
Mm-hmm.
We're supposed
Amen.
To be the unique, peculiar people, the ones
yes.
that are set aside for God and his good
mm-hmm.
pleasure and his work. But if we act like them, my God, where are those that need Christ are going to go to see Christ? We're the only Christ anybody's going to see.
Amen.
So we have to be like the scriptures saying, I'm done. You know, it doesn't frustrate me. I pray even more. But I remember I was in prayer, and I'm going off into a little bit of a tangent. And just like what this word is saying, how he's gathering. And I saw that in prayer a few months ago, where God said, I'm gathering my people unto myself. And his arms were like wings. And I saw them as he was gathering them unto his bosom.
Mm-hmm.
But then he told me here just a few days ago when I was in prayer, he says, Edna, he said, people are looking one way and the enemy's coming another way. That's why
mm-hmm.
they have to watch as well as pray.
Mm-hmm.
Watch the sign. Watch what the enemy, you have to watch the enemy. We should know his tactics and his tricks. And we're not watching.
Mm-hmm.
But we
Amen.
Need to. I know I went off into a little bit of a tangent, but I'm just saying
that. Being prepared, and by being prepared means you don't know when the time is, but you have to know the enemy. Who is you know, against God? Who's against your way? And put into action application God's principle, and stay fast with that. And as He brings His people together, we strengthen each other and keep each other our hearts soft and supportive of each other. But if you face constant battle, and you feel that they're just your battle,
mm-hmm.
and it's not something that God has his hands on, or it's supplying you with the support, you may easily turn in the opposite direction, like tumbleweed, just having a roof and just going wherever the wind blows you. We want to be anchored, and by being in and being among God's people, as we gather, we prevent that from occurring, being just simple tumbleweed. I like in the desert, and just blowing around, you know, having no no destination or no true purpose.
But amen. And in this verses of scripture, and I'll let you continue, Elder John, is that you see the love and the mercy of God. You know, with all that they did, he still reached down and said, I will sanctify, you know, my great name. And that's what we hold, his great name. When we go out there, we're supposed to present ourselves. And that's what he was doing. He said, he's going to gather them. He's going to put a new heart. He's renewing them.
Mm-hmm.
So they can come up to be the people that he's called for in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
With all that they did, smacking him in his face, you know, doing what they want to do. He's still, my God is so wonderful. He still said, this is what I'm going to do though. Because of my namesake and because of the love, because it's an agape love, it's an unconditional love, because of that, I'm still going to pull you in. I'm still going to do this, that, and other for you. Because I, not only my name shall be great, but you shall be great, because he said, then he's going to multiply them. My God, what a God. He's going to multiply after all that they did. Defile the land, I mean everything. You know, after all they did, he still said, yet I'm going to do all this and I'm going to multiply you. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. And you shall be my people and I will be your God. What kind of God is that? That's a loving God. That's a merciful God. That's a God that whoever's out there and we who's supposed to exemplify him should say, it's God that loves you. He wants the very best for you. Come unto him. You're weak. You're heavy laden. Come unto him. Because his yoke is light. His burden, light and yoke and all that good stuff. I'm not getting it together. But he loves us just that much. Okay, Elsa. You can continue. Praise God. I lost you. I don't even hear you no more. Praise God. Hello. Okay.
God will clean and renew. Can you hear me?
Yes, can hear you now. Praise God.
Yes, God will clean and renew. That's the beauty of it.
Amen.
God will take all that accumulated filth, everything that has been accumulated over time, that has made that person or that individual turn from God and begin to start to look for other things. And that becomes their God. God will take all the filth He will clean it up, and he will renew it. Because I'm right back to what I said before. God cannot, he will not dwell in an unclean place.
Amen.
He will not. You can't be out there and doing everything under the sun and expecting God, the Holy Spirit, to dwell within you.
And let's go even
here. Mm-hmm. That's what it's saying here.
Amen.
Let's look at it, 24 through 27. And it says, God will clean them from their accumulated lies and their relationships with false idols. Their relationships they have will be destroyed. False idols. Anything that you love more than God will. And God will then, not only then, he'll take that cold, lifeless heart of stone and replace it with a heart that they knew when they first knew God. That's that heart of flesh when you first come to Christ. That living heart for God. That's why it is we must love God with all our heart, our mind. You've heard that before. We have to give our all and all. Listen, one half of it is not going to do. God wants it all. He wants us all.
Amen.
And can I say this too?
I call it selling out. Selling out. And that's what's happening here. God is saying he's going to do is they turn their hearts from God. They become cold and lifeless. Their love is the idols that they worship, not God. Their holiness is their idols, not God. And Ezekiel is coming to the people and letting them know through God that he's going to turn that around. God is going to turn that around because, listen, people do not recognize God's name as holy. At this time, not holy. Israel is being torn up. Israel has lost hope because of all they have done. They've lost hope. They don't believe that God is going to return to them. And Ezekiel is coming with a message to the people, letting them know that God is going to change all of that. The God that they first knew is the same God that's going to change all of that.
And this is for today, too.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Amen.
The way the people are living this, where
Israel
is they're taking things that were once holy and making it acceptable, trying to change the word. You call it we have political correctness, but it's
incorrect.
That's totally incorrect. It goes against the Lord. People are afraid to speak up. Those that are that do speak up, they're
persecuted.
You've got the people that we've been so indoctrinated with evil that we think that it's okay. We've become numb to it. You got families that they are totally numb to sin. And then it's okay. We make excuses for folks. And so it's the same thing. It's just like we did in those times. You know, it's the same thing. God is not pleased. God is not pleased.
Even with ourselves, we have to constantly re-examine ourselves because we can become immune to sort of stand around us, and we take that to be normal, but we have to be in a position to correct ourselves, examine ourselves, see that that problem exists, and do it, correct it, do something about it.
And as Christians in the church and leaders, people that are in leadership and elders have to speak up. You cannot give people a pass. You know what? Because the Lord was going to hold you accountable for those mm-hmm. that you let continue to sin without giving them the warning. When you know in your heart of hearts that it's wrong. We have mm-hmm. churches, we have whole denominations that are because of political correctness and pressure are taking things that you know are sinful and saying that it's okay. That maybe God didn't mean that. His word is rightly divided word is black or white. It's not lukewarm. It's not gray. You know, it's either he said it or he didn't say it. And we are mm-hmm. speaking things out of context. We're taking, mm-hmm. we're rewriting words, changing pronouns in the word. This is absolutely crazy. God's word is mm-hmm. not supposed to be messed with. I'm not going mm-hmm. to hell for changing the word.
No, amen.
We have people talking about mother, father, God, or that he didn't mean mankind. He meant people kind or humankind, or he mm-hmm. didn't mean so-and-so. He knew what he was saying. And he knew what
yes,
an inspired word from the Lord. And if he hasn't inspired you to write it, then you can't rewrite it. And this,
that's
this
right.
is amazing. It's amazing how I was reading, and I don't know how the listeners feel, but I was reading about some of the things like ordaining homosexual, saying that that's okay and being married. And I'm not saying there's a problem with ordination. I'm not saying there's a problem with ordination or following the word. But clearly, what does the word say about marriage? And I'm not saying that, that you shouldn't cook for people or whatever. I may be getting too deep into it. I just know that the word is not supposed to be changed. You're not supposed to add or subtract from it. You're not
That's
supposed
right.
to change the word, period,
mm-hmm.
period. And how it's can the church mm-hmm. change the word? How can mm-hmm. the church do that? Mm-hmm. Something's wrong. Something's wrong.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
There's another reason to come together as a group of more than one, two or more, God is present. But anyway, as you read the Bible, sometimes we will take our own interpretation, but you have, five Christians who come together and they study the Word, five or more, and they're studying the Word. We are able to recognize that maybe I did take this out of context. I need to get back on, take this back to where it actually belongs. But we help keep each other clean in our thinking and our actions. But if you just set it up and read the word, you may just simply, all by yourself, you may simply just interpret it the way it fits your life and the way you feel. You know? And it's not the way God intended for it to be taken, you know?
Mm-hmm. So, and that's what a lot of
now, if we learn, we're taking in God's word, and we're in a position to put it in action, so that we also become students, and we also become teachers of God's word,
yeah.
and we put it in action. It's not enough just to say I know it, but anyway, we judge the tree by the fruit it bears. So we have to be careful about what kind of fruit are we bearing. You know, are we bearing a Christian fruit? Or we bearing bad fruit, then it's toxic, poisonous, then we'll give you.
Things may look good and everything that glitters, and I keep thinking all these different things, but everything that glitters is a gold, you know?
Amen.
Yeah, there's gold.
Right. So you have to be careful. One of the other things I think of is how the Lord, that as people come out and do things or profess things that are clearly against God's word, that they're revealing themselves as well. And I praise God for that piece. I praise God for that, because, you know, when somebody shows you who they are, you believe them.
Mm-hmm.
So I praise God for that they're, you know, that they're doing that. But it's just so sad for, especially for young people who may be looking for the way, and here you got somebody who from the denominational church and the non-denominational churches who are attempting to be followers of Christ, who are giving them a watered-down gospel. And that's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That's wrong. You can't give it. The gospel isn't about, it's not like a cafeteria where you pick and choose what you want. It's the whole word.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen. I just want to say this as well. When you were talking before about how they acted, the outwardly they act, we have to be careful, because some people just don't act out their sinful nature in front of the world. You got people going to church and hallelujah, thank you Jesus, dancing all over the place, and then they come home and they act a different way on the DL. And seeing that's what God's going to judge too. God's going to judge us by not so much, and He does judge us what we appear before the world, but He's going to judge us behind closed doors too.
Yeah.
See, because he we have to realize that it's not just what people are doing out there or how they're acting out there. Well, how are you acting when you go home? See, God sees everything, and He's everywhere. And at the end of the day, when we stand before the judgment seat, He said, yes, you preach to those, but yet you're still a castaway. Remember the word? The word says that. Though I preach to many, but yet I'm still a cast, and I'm paraphrasing, and yet I'm still a castaway. Because you know why? Because He's judging you in your heart, how you are, how you present your life to Him. Above everything, at the end of the day, how do you present your life to Christ? Is it on the up and up, or is it on the DL? Because even though the people out there, like these Israelites, they completely went ballistic. They went to other idols and blah, blah, blah. But then you have people that come home in the corner in the dark, have their own idols, have their own way of living. God see everything.
Amen.
So it's not just the people that are outwardly showing how they are, but it's the people inward. How are you? How are you acting? Who are you?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. It's tight. It's tight. But you know holiness is still right.
Amen. And that's basically what this whole
scripture is about.
God's holiness.
Mm-hmm.
God has not
changed.
Right.
God doesn't.
Still wants a holy people. We cannot change.
We should always ask for forgiveness every day.
Yeah.
That's my prayer every morning, the Our Father prayer. Forgive me, Lord, because there might be things that I've done in my spirit, in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
That I want to just be clean. He said, a pure heart shall see God.
Mm-hmm.
Pure heart. The pure in heart.
Amen.
Amen.
And that's what was happening there.
Amen, Pastor.
That's what was happening with Israel during that time. God wanted to change their heart of stone to a heart of flesh.
Yes.
A flesh that when they first met God, how much in love they were with God. He was changing all of that. Changing it, turning it, and that's where we are. God says, turn from your wicked ways. Turn. He didn't say continue doing what you're doing and later on I will come and announce to you. Ezekiel is telling to the people of Israel to not lose hope. Do not lose hope. They had lost hope because of their ways and their actions.
Mm-hmm.
They've lost hope.
And all they had to do.
And reminding them and letting them know that the God that they first knew, their first love, God wants them back.
That's right, and he's still right there.
He wants to be their first love. He wants to be their first love. And that's what this whole topic is about restoration, restoring.
Amen. Amen.
Restoring. Amen. We're at our end. We do, woman of God, I do thank you for being online and sharing with us at this time. I don't know what happened with Reverend Jackson, but I'm sure that it's something that prevented him from coming on. But I thank God that he always has, a ram in the bush. He always has people
Amen.
Around. Brother Noah, thank him for being involved and of the ministry and constantly sharing. How the Lord is speaking to him. And you know what? We come together collectively.
And my wife,
who is always
Yes,
here.
Amen.
I always forget to announce her because
your
she's
queen.
Always here.
That's right.
She's
your queen,
she
brother.
She's always on my side. So sometimes I do forget to do that because I just think that she's always there and always going to be there. So I do thank my wife as well.
Absolutely.
Again, thank each and every one of you that's listening by internet. We do thank you for tuning in and being a part of this blog ministry. I pray that you will continue to pray for us, and we'll pray for you, because if there's a time that we need to be in prayer, that time is now. Amen?
Yes.
That time is
Amen.
Now. We cannot forget. We can't forget that God has given us the greatest gift of all, and that is prayer. Amen?
Amen.
Prayer.
Amen.
Knowing that Jesus died, resurrected,
thank you, Jesus.
And he's returning back once again.
Thank
so we
you,
do
Jesus.
Thank you. May God bless you. And until we meet again, remember, God loves you.